Berg session number 12274, reel 3.
Captain Van Court, reel 3. Yes.
Yeah, the Commonwealth paid off a few months after I joined her. And I wrote to my captain of the Princess Royal, who was then a director of operations in the Admiralty, and asked him whether he could get me back to a destroyer, which he did do. And I was appointed to a small ship called the Redoubt in the Nord Defence Flotilla, based at Sheerness. We had a odd job to do here and there, but nothing very much. And I was first lieutenant of the ship. I had a nice captain, and one way and another, it was a very good appointment, which I much enjoyed. After turning over to one or two other ships in the Nord Defence Flotilla, I was appointed to the Worcester, which was a new destroyer, a V-class. And in the first flotilla of the Home Fleet. Her captain was an extremely nice commander, full of fun. And everything was a joke to him, and it was a very pleasant ship to serve in. We spent the first month or two I was in the ship back in Ireland, supposedly supporting the Free State government, who were then fighting the De Valera breakaways. It was never clear to us what a destroyer could do in the circumstances, and we had a pretty miserable time. It was blowing a gale most of the attachment, and we were thankful to get back to Portsmouth for winter leave. News then came through that we were to go out to the Mediterranean. Our flotilla was required to reinforce the number of ships which were patrolling in the Sea of Marmara and Black Sea and the like, because there was much because there was considerable difficulty with the Turks in signing a peace treaty. This had been going on for some years now, and the Mustafa Kemal, who had been a distinguished general in the Gallipoli campaign, raised an army and drove the Greeks out of Anatolia into the sea at Smyrna with enormous casualties, and they burnt the city down and all the rest of it. There's been a great deal of tribulation going on for a number of years. There was a danger of Mustafa Kemal trying to cross the Bosphorus and take Constantinople at one time. The British sent, I think it was two or three divisions, which were encamped at Gallipoli, the Narrows, and we always had destroyers anchored round them. in case the Turkish army broke through the defences there, which is nothing very much, I think, and tried to drive him into the Bosphorus. Well, the situation was pretty tricky, but I don't think in the end anything came of it all, except that ultimately, after we'd been there, I suppose the whole of that year, nearly, 1923, with battleships and cruisers and lots of, and various other ships up and down the coast, a peace treaty was signed, and insofar as we were concerned, in the first flotilla, we sailed for England. And mark you, we'd had quite an interesting time.
What are your personal memories of being there?
Well, it was a very nice part of the world serve in the summer. It was lovely weather, mostly. I was navigator of the ship, actually, and a very interesting amount of ship handling, navigation, and all these places we had to go into. Went down to Mudros and Lemnos, and went to Smyrna, I suppose, and all those places up down Trincipo, and lots of little places around the Bosphorus, which what we were supposed to be doing, nobody quite knew. But I suppose if they must have trouble had attacked various places, we'd have then be on the spot to have supported the army or moved the army or whatever it might be. Anyway, it never did blow up, but it nearly did at one time, and it was a very anxious time for the political people. However, we didn't mind. We'd had quite a happy summer there, really, but we wanted to go home. We wanted to leave. And so we sailed for England, and we arrived in, I think, September 1923. When we got back, we had our leave and all the rest of it, and the news came through that the fourth flotilla was to go out to the Mediterranean again and relieve the flotilla out there was due to go home. So we turned round and off we went to the Mediterranean again. And we got to Malta and settled down there as part of the Mediterranean fleet, ostensibly for a long time, two and a half years probably. But that didn't happen to me because I came home because I wisely or unwisely, nobody will ever know what the answer really was, from my point of view, I decided to put my name down to learn to fly in the Fleet Air Arm, when the Fleet Air Arm was first constituted. It was a very dubious decision to take. I remember when the fleet order first came out, I said to myself, ha, this is another sort of naval air service letdown, which we've seen before with the RNAS. I'm not going to touch this lot, and thought no more about it. But then I was ashore in Malta, because I just got married, and I had sandfly fever, and I wasn't very well, and my captain in Worcester came across to my house and read out this order about asking volunteers for the naval flying course. And I remember him, he said to me, well, you know, he said, if you stay in destroyers, which you seem to want to do, you may get a brass hat and a bald head like me, but that's, and you'll be lucky to get as far as there. You see? So one way and another, my wife's a very good girl. She's very, very enthusiastic about anything like that. She'd gone flying herself, I think, if she'd got the chance. So we agreed. the money was better than it had been. We got quite a satisfying pay for those days. And we came back to England, and I started on this dubious career of a pioneer of the fleet era.
What did you think of the training that you got?
Well, we went to number one flying training school at Netheravon, which was run in a pretty light-hearted manner. They were a goodish lot of chaps, you know, these RAF fellows. They were all ex-wartime fellows who had taken on. It must have been young chaps and joined up in the war, and the instructors were pretty good, and the commanding officer was a nice chap. And, no, I think they did very well, really. They didn't... There was no ill feeling between the RAF and the Navy insofar as the flying side was concerned. It's all in the administration and the background music, so to speak, of the fleet era was the problem between the Admiralties and the Ministry. But on the spot, and we all got on very well together. No, I did my 6 months there and learned to fly on one of the original old aeroplanes, was flying in 1914, the Avro 504K. Well, do I remember it. And we did quite well, I think. Later, so after 6 months, we got our wings. And then I went to a unit which was forming up to go to one of the new aircraft carriers that had just been commissioned. I went off to the Eagle in the Mediterranean again. I always seem to get to the Mediterranean. And my wife came out too, and we had a home there and all the rest of it. But having been there for about 6 months, the Eagle stayed out, but they changed the aircraft over. And they sent some different aircraft out to the Mediterranean, and we were taken back to England again. So that was another usual sort of adventure that you had in the fleet air arm. You've always been mucked around in some way or other. So I came back to England and my flight, and we were settled into ashore at Gosport, in the RAF station at Gosport, until the next spot of trouble. I'm a troublesome chap, I think. I always hate trouble. Next spot of trouble was in China. All the warlords start fighting each other, and the colonial people are very worried about that they would come into the international settlement in Shanghai, and they were going to do all kinds of troublesome things in Hankow up the Yangtze. And so they decided to send the Shanghai Defense Force out. There was a whole division of troops, and they sent out, in addition to the China fleet, which was quite a decent-sized fleet in those days, they sent out a first cruise squadron of the Mediterranean and another flotilla of destroyers, and they sent out my old ship, the Argus. And we were just about to join the Argus when this happened. And as she was going to be used as a seaplane carrier, we had to go ashore and learn to fly seaplanes, which we hadn't done much of, none, in fact. So we were sent to Calshot, where we learned to fly an old Fairey 3D seaplane. And we embarked these things in the Argus, and off we went to China at full speed. So instead of having a pleasant year or two in the home fleet, which I thought we were going to do, and a nice little wife ashore and all the rest of it, I was found myself in China. We then made fast to the Putang Wharf in the Wangpu River at Shanghai after going to Hong Kong and that. And there we flew seaplanes, sort of, what were you going to do? We never quite knew. The Shanghai Defense Force were put all around the international settlement, and the bad boys, the Chinese, came down and sort of looked over the hedge, and and made rude noises, but they'd never got farther than that. But we flew these seaplanes off the Whangpoo River, which was a pretty dicey do, I can tell you. It was stacked with junks to start off with. And it was not an easy place to fly. We did a bit of flying there. One of our chaps hit the junk's mast taking off, and you never saw such a party. He turned him upside down, he fell on the top of the junk, and 150 Chinese jumped into the Yangtze River, the Whangpoo River, rather, and it happened just alongside the ship. It was the finest pileup I've ever seen in my life, and nobody was hurt. But anyway, we then went up to Wei Hai Wei, which is a fleet base, where it was lovely flying weather there. We had to, used to take the seaplanes off every day and fly up and down the China coast. And everybody thoroughly enjoyed themselves. We used to give them this, everything splendid.
So no war? You never fired a shot in anger in China?
No. No shots were fired at that time. The trouble had been the previous year when all this blew up. They had a very nasty do at Hankow in 1927. They had the incident known as the Char Wo incident, when we took up a Chinese River gunboat. No, a Chinese River transport, and put some sailor boys in, and we were going out to Hankow, and we were going to grab the port or something. But anyway, it was an awful disaster, and nobody really talked very much about this. It was really bad. And that was just before this incident when they sent the Shanghai Defense Force out. No, when we got there, the Chinese had more or less packed up, I think. So, in due course, the Argus came home. I came home in a hospital ship because I had peritonitis, which was a jolly lucky thing. I didn't die there. We had the old May, and the hospital ship was up at Wei Hai Wei at the time, and I was dragged on board her and went to sea in the best part of the tail end of a typhoon was blowing, and they couldn't operate on me because the other ship was rolling so much. However, when we got to Hong Kong, they opened me up and they found a jolly old mess in the side, and I was in the hospital ship on my flat on my back nearly all the way to England, which took quite a long time in the old 10-knot ship. Anyway, I got back to England just for Christmas, and that was the end of my Chinese adventure.
This was 28.
That was 28, yes. Yes.
I think the next trouble you were in was in Palestine.
Yes, in 28, that's right. When I came back from England, and as I say, I'd been on the sick list and so on, so I really missed quite a lot of flying time and so on and so forth. I was then told that I'd done 4 years attachment to the RAF, and I got to do a year of general service back to the upper deck, and you're a proper sailor boy. And they said, they always did that in the Navy with the submariners and other naughty boys who'd been serving in these funny places. They always back to big ships and, you know, learn some discipline. And we always considered indiscipline a lot, submariners and sailors, flying people. However, I went to the Renown, which was a lovely ship, and I had a very, very pleasant year there. I adored the captain, the command was charming, and we had a lovely lot of officers. And I couldn't have wished to serve a happier ship, really. But then nothing very much happened to us. We did the usual home fleet routine in those days. And when I left her after my year, I was appointed to again to the Mediterranean, Courageous, to join one of her flights there. And when I got to Malta, we went out to Malta by train. The day I arrived there, the ship was under short notice for steam, and she was duly dispatched to Haifa, where the who was fighting who in those days. Let's see, it was the Palestinians have been rather naughty, and they were shooting up the Jews, I think, at that time, and we were trying to hold the fort, I think that's what it was. It was, in those days, it was what they call RAF control. There was a Air Vice Marshal who was the senior officer ashore, and he had a couple of squadrons of RAF light bombers, I think they were. And we went off to Haifa, and it was agreed to land our squadrons to support the RAF, you see, because we were half RAF. And so we landed at quite a lot of us at Gaza. There was a little aerodrome at Gaza.
What kind of planes were these?
Well, we had Fairey 3Fs at the time in my flight, and there were some fighters there, Fairey fighters there too. Fairey 3Fs, and we landed there. I don't think we landed our torpedo machines. There was nothing to torpedo there, really. And we were there a few days under rather active service conditions, I suppose, but nothing very much happened. I think we flew around the country and we demonstrated our power. I think that was what the word that they used, flew in tight formation over the country and that kind of thing. And we flew down to the desert down Beersheba and down there. But nothing occurred really. And after a few days, we re-embarked and settled down to the normal Mediterranean routine, which was what we were sent out now.
This was in 29.
That was in 29, yes. And then we were in Malta for that winter. But we, the courageous, I think she had turbine trouble, I think it was, as far as I remember, and she was ordered home. And that time, the latest aircraft carrier had just been commissioned. That was the Glorious. And she came out of the Mediterranean to relieve us, and we went home. I was very glad because I couldn't take my wife and small baby out there. It was all too difficult, one thing or another, that time. And so I went home, the Courageous. I'd only been at the station that time for a few months, and I was thankful to get away. We came back to the home fleet, and
I think you got an admiralty job in 31.
Yes, well then I was in the home fleet in the Courageous, that's right, in 30. And then in 31, I was appointed to the Admiralty.
Do you have any memories of the Invergordon Mutiny in 31?
Yeah, I do. I was at the Admiralty. And I was rather ashamed to meet a sailor boy in Trafalgar Square when I was going to lunch. I thought, oh, they're one of them, you see. So I didn't know I wasn't there. I was at the Admiralty, and it was... it was really a tragedy, the mutiny. It was so badly handled administratively, really, that the Navy took the stick over it, I quite agree, and said they should. But it was half a dozen, six of one, half a dozen the other. The way they handled the pay, they reduced people's pay. They didn't. There was no question. Certain branches of the Navy, certain sections of the Navy, were reduced in pay nearly 50% or 40%, I think you want to guess. I mean, a chap earning three bob a day, was suddenly told he's going to get two and tuppence or something. It was that sort of thing. And you don't blame him. And it was a terrible tragedy. It was so badly handled. The government totally to blame, and the Navy took the stick we do take the stick if you mutiny, but there are certain mutinies which are forgivable, as was the mutiny of the Nore in 1797 or 17 and Spithead, the way they treated the chaps in those days was absolutely disgraceful, really. And they deserve a mutiny, but the mutineers always get caned. But in the end, they win through, and they did in that case. No, I was the arbiter then, and I was trying to. I'd done a certain amount of writing and recommending various reorganizations, which I reckoned was right and proper, because nobody was thinking about planning and organizing in the old days of the Fleet Air Army. We were just. It just worked, but I was looking for the future, really, and I had various ideas, and they said, all right, you come to the Admiralty and put it into effect, in other words, which I did do as a 2.5. I did a good job there, I think.
But that sailor that you met in Trafalgar Square, did he know that you were working at the Admiralty?
No, I didn't speak to him. Even. No, I was just sorry. I thought, oh, here's one of those rogues. I was really rather... we were all rather taken aback and shocked with the thing, but in point of fact, in hindsight, one can see that the sailors were right. Really. They were right.
Now, later on in the 30s, you had contact with the Spanish Civil War.
Oh, that's my extra. I always go to hot places. Very unfortunate because I went to the Admiralty and then I went back to sea in the Furious. I was squadron commander of the Furious for 2 years, where we did a lot of fleet training, a lot of good work. We all did a lot of deck landing and a lot of experiments in deck landing. In fact, I did the first deck landing ever carried out into the thwartship wires and the carriers. I had I was lent from the Shores to Farnborough to carry out these trials, and we did it in the Courageous. I was the test pilot for that, and it was quite an honour to do that.
Did anything go wrong?
No, I think it worked pretty well. The first one I did was a poor bit of equipment and it wasn't used again. They altered the system. I think in point of fact, I would have an Air Force Cross for it, really. They gave AFCs to most people who did experimental flying of that sort, if one's luck had been in, one'd have got one, but I didn't get it.
What year was that?
That was 31. 31. It was rather a disappointment to me. And then I got promoted to commander in 33, end of 33, I think, yes. And went back to the Admiralty. And had another 2 years there doing all this reorganization, administration, and jolly hard work, too, it was. We did a lot of work, and a lot of good work, too. We sorted a lot of things out. And after that, I was appointed again to a general service, and I was sent as commander of the cruiser Neptune in the Home Fleet. But the Home Fleet always went to the Mediterranean, and I